You are Locked On Cardinals, your daily Arizona Cardinals podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Just days after the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat and lost opportunity because of penalties and mistakes. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Bo Brock, Alex Clancy, give us a follow on Twitter at Locked On AZ Cards. Oh yeah, we're going to get to those tweets from you guys. Everyone listening, participating, we'll talk about what you're saying out there as far as Twitter goes. This season is definitely different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, I was watching last night, had that blue can in hand, chips, dip. My screens, they're filled with sports content, including Thursday Night Football. Pepsi was a refreshment that I needed to power through game day, become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi made for football watching. We're going to do an immediate recap. I mean, this is just minutes after the Cardinals fell to the Seahawks 28-21. We're going to get into an immediate recap, knee-jerk reactions from Alex and myself. We're going to get back into the conversation about Cliff Kingsbury's play calling and also why this team is so undisciplined. Who does it fall on? Is it Kingsbury? Is it on the players? Is it on the position coaches? We'll get into it. But the mistakes, they were glaring on Thursday night. We saw the offense come out slow, and we saw a Seattle Seahawks team that might have turned back the clock one season. They were efficient, and they got the job done on Thursday Night Football, taking out the Arizona Cardinals 28-21. That's your Locked On Cardinals lead story. I'm Bo Brock, along with Alex Clancy. Alex, what was your main takeaway from this setback on Thursday night?
There's a couple different ways you can take it. One is they're playing a short week, and you want to give them the benefit of the doubt that they had a huge Hail Mary win that pretty much coaxed all of the, you know, serotonin out of their brains, but it was just sloppy. You know, there were some flashball moments with Drake Kirkpatrick's penalty that we'll talk about, the holding in the end zone, which was a questionable call, but it was close enough to where we don't really need to discuss it. Like, that's 9 points that you give on the road against a team that probably 1-53 should still have, you know, been the favorite of this game. Like, they were 3 points in Vegas. Like, you cannot afford to make mental mistakes on the road in a short week against a division opponent who could now, after the win, be the one seed in the NFC when it all comes down to it.
The Arizona Cardinals, they went into the locker room at halftime down 16-7 to Seattle. They come out, they score on the opening drive. It's aided by a couple penalties from the Seattle Seahawks, a couple of their key defenders in Quandre Diggs and Bobby Wagner. But Kyler and the squad, they're able to punch one in, and they're able to cut into that lead. It's 16-14. And then Russell Wilson and crew, they're driving. And what we're talking about is on third down, they're able to slow down Tyler Lockett and stop him, you know, well short of the first down marker. So it's going to be a fourth down for the Seattle Seahawks team. And Drake Kirkpatrick, for whatever reason, comes out of nowhere and starts getting into it with DK Metcalf. And then kind of a little melee, you know, ensues. And there's laundry on the field. And the Arizona Cardinals are hit with a penalty because of Drake Kirkpatrick. And then the Seattle Seahawks, Carlos Hyde, they are able to bulldoze their way into the end zone. And the Arizona Cardinals are chasing more points. Now, they make it 2-for-2 as far as their drives and touchdowns go in the second half, and they stay in this ball game. But then, you know, the defense comes up with a big, you know, stop as far as slowing down the Seahawks. And the Cardinals offense, they get a an intentional grounding penalty on Kyler Murray that puts them way back, backs them way back onto their own 2-yard line. And then J.R. Sweezy's hit with the holding penalty in the end zone. And yeah, you're right. You could probably talk about both of these big penalties. One on Sweezy, where it looked like the hold was on the outside of the end zone. And then you can talk about Drake Kirkpatrick, where normally you're seeing both guys get flagged in scuffles like that, but Kirkpatrick's the only one hit here. Could have been offsetting and just replayed third down and rolled the dice that way, but no, it doesn't play out that way. And the Arizona Cardinals, You know, they fall 28-21. I mean, you look at the penalties, Alex, and they're way up there as far as this team's concerned, and they're way up there as far as in the league goes. I mean, 10 on Thursday night for 115 yards. Just too many at this point in the season, and they were about as costly as they possibly could be in the contest last night.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because going into the game, we discussed, a lot of people discussed, so if the Cardinals win, it'll look like, you know, they can win out. Or they, you know, maybe split with the Rams, but, you know, beat the Patriots, beat the Eagles, beat the Giants. You know, they could get to 10 or 11 wins. And then now, they're like, well, you know, if they lose, then, oh, New England looks a lot more daunting. What we saw tonight was a team that we've seen all year that is undisciplined, that is, as you mentioned, one of the, I think they're, if not number one, they're top three in penalty yards gained, or penalty yards, you know, whatever, accrued. This goes back to Cliff. It may be the players on the field that actually cause the false starts or the intentional grounding with Dan Arnold that set up the safety, but it starts at the top. You know, the Raiders forever have been the team that has always had the most penalties. Always. It's always been the Raiders. Doesn't matter. Oh, man, the head coach is different. Everything's different. Why are the Raiders the Raiders? Because they're the Raiders. And the Cardinals have been an undisciplined team for a long time. You know, they've had the BA years and everything, but tonight was a microcosm of the fact that there are nice plays that happen. They get in the end zone. The run game was fine tonight, but not great like it has been. And the penalties kill you. You cannot afford to give up a football field plus in penalty yards and expect to win a game on the road against a divisional opponent like the Seattle Seahawks. You just can't.
Yeah, and giving a guy like Russell Wilson multiple opportunities to, you know, keep drives going, and, you know, it cost him. You put it out there on your own Twitter, at Clancy's Corner, it cost him 9 points. So the Arizona Cardinals, they dropped to 6-3, a game behind the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC West at 7-3. I'm sorry, the Cardinals fall to 6-4, and the Seahawks improve to 7-3. And now the road to a division title, potentially a little bit rougher because the Seahawks, they've got a cupcake schedule going forward. The Cardinals up next, they're on the road, getting on a plane, heading to Foxborough, taking on the New England Patriots. Now, there was an Arizona Cardinals player that we've been awaiting his emergence all season long, and he certainly did that on Thursday night. We'll tell you who, plus we get in back under the microscope. It's Cliff Kingsbury's play calling. It's all coming up. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This football season is different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, I was just saying, I was watching multiple screens last night, had that trusty blue can in my hand with the chips, just a great spread there, and Pepsi was the refreshment that I needed to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. You need to join us, these passionate fans. We're the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Bo Brock, Alex Clancy, hanging out with you, whether you're listening on Friday. It was a late one on Thursday night with the game. But we appreciate you guys whenever you tune in. Make sure you're following along on Twitter at LockedOnAZCards, at Bob Rack to follow me, and at Clancy's Corner to follow Alex. Just a couple of the tweets that we received. I asked, who's to blame for the loss on Thursday night? And that kid Nick said the penalties first and foremost, lack of a running game, poor run defense. And he's absolutely right. The Arizona Cardinals could not get anything going on the ground, Alex.
No, and it's... And Bo, obviously it's because Kyler Murray didn't get anything on the ground going. You know, like this shows that that whole rush attack is foundationalized on Kyler Murray. Like, you know, Kenyon Drake, listen, for everything that I've said, and I was texting you throughout the game, I've been harsh on Kenyon Drake. Like, you know, I'm the know-all of running backs, but he was running east-west when the season started, and now he's just running straight up the gut. And you can tell by his stature, like, the crazy part is that he and Chase Edmonds, he weighs like 3 pounds more than Chase Edmonds. When it looks like it's a stark contrast. Like, you're looking at Derrick Henry versus Darren Sproles sometimes, which isn't the case. Kenyon Drake is starting to become a running back that you can trust. And he had pretty good numbers tonight. And obviously, game flow has something to do with running backs. It's just the name of the game. But it's Kyler Murray didn't run the ball tonight. And that was the defense that Pete Carroll put in place was, you know what? Kyler Murray's not going to beat us with his legs. And he executed it flawlessly. So that's why the numbers have dipped. I just see Kenyon Drake as he had a pretty good game tonight. Like, they lost, but he specifically had a pretty good game tonight. I think that's promising for the future. You need to see little things like that. And we'll talk about Isaiah Simmons later. Like, even though the Cardinals lost tonight, there are some very bright spots that we saw from places that we hadn't seen recently. And I think that's a good thing you have to keep in mind.
Yeah, Kyler Murray, for whatever reason, and give credit to Ken Norton, give credit to Pete Carroll for having a good plan out there. I mean, they took the league's worst passing defense, and they were able to kind of take away the deep shots downfield and at the same time contain Kyler Murray on the ground. He did just have 5 carries for 15 yards, didn't find the end zone, stuck at 10 touchdowns rushing on the season. Kenyon Drake, you mentioned his running game. Look, the stats, not pretty. 29 yards on 11 carries, but he did make some good plays, nifty moves to get out of trouble in the pass game. 4 catches, 31 yards. He helped out. He looked good, despite the numbers maybe not saying that, maybe telling a different story. But, you know, I thought it was also interesting on the broadcast last night with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman kept on talking about Kyler Murray's shoulder and where he was. And I just don't think it was, they were making it out to be a bigger issue than it was, because he looked fine throwing the ball to me.
Yeah, it was a little, it's a snap back to reality kind of situation. Oh, if there goes gravity, I'm going to lose yourself for a second. But like when Kyler Murray is running around like a crazy person, and then the last thing you think of is him getting injured when it's like, oh, let's worry about the defense. You know, Isaiah Simmons isn't playing well, and Drake Kirkpatrick is giving up 15 yards to a wide receiver on the opposing team. And then it's like, oh no, wait, Kyler could actually get hurt. Like, I know that sounds super stupid and a 10-year-old stance on it, but it's like, it's the last thing you think of. It's like, well, if Kyler gets injured, then everything is ruined. It doesn't matter what happens with anything else if Kyler gets injured. And it was weird seeing him on the sideline kind of trying to throw the ball, but obviously, like, towards the middle of the game, I don't know if it was adrenaline or what, but he seemed fine, but it was a very scary situation early on. And they just kind of glossed over it during the broadcast. I'm not sure exactly as to why. Maybe it was because he wasn't down on the field and he was, you know, grabbing at his shoulder or something, like it was a collarbone or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that they were actually kind of emphasizing it a little too much. They say, hey, he doesn't seem right, but then he's out there zipping lasers across the field. I didn't think that, you know, outside there was the big penalty that thankfully – Seattle helped out where he missed DeAndre Hopkins wide open in the middle of the field. But other than that, you know, I thought that Kyler Murray did enough, and especially with his arm in the second half, to keep the Cardinals in this game all the way up until, you know, they're on the Seahawks side of the football field and they're looking for a game-tying score. Unfortunately, it didn't come to fruition. The offensive line's, you know, tough game continued as he was taken down for his third sack in the game. And it didn't look like they were even bringing that much pressure on that play. The Arizona Cardinals, I don't know. I mean, it was just an odd game. And I think that's kind of how Thursday night plays out for you. You know, the Arizona Cardinals, last season they played with really no expectations going up against the San Francisco 49ers. This year, completely different. But you do realize, you know, when you're playing late until, you know, you're playing late games on Sunday outside of playing Sunday night football, you win on the last second play, you're having to play all 60 minutes and then turn around with basically no defensive line and then go up against one of the more potent offenses. And it kind of showed. I'm not making an excuse. There was no excuse for the penalties. But, man, it was this was a tough one. But you're right. It did show us some things, Alex.
I'm going to ask you a very simple question. In the grand scheme of Kyler Murray's career and the Arizona Cardinals' future – Would you take this loss to see the growth of Isaiah Simmons? Like, that is Isaiah Simmons, what he showed tonight. 10 tackles, a sack, 2 tackles for loss, and a quarterback hit. This is the culmination of the first 9 games of his career in 60 minutes. Like, I know it's dumb and I know it's non-linear that, oh, a win versus a player experience. Like, obviously you want the Cardinals to win because this is a huge game and they're 6-4, 7-3 and 6-4 is a huge deal. Not only in the NFC West, but in the playoff picture. But seeing what Isaiah Simmons did tonight to show some promise in the heart of that defense, there's got to be a sugarcoating here. You have to see that, right?
You know, Isaiah Simmons gave them a chance to win this football game. I mean, they were down, 2 points at one point. It was 23-21, and the Seattle Seahawks get the ball back after the Cardinals score, and 2 of the 3 plays on defense were made by Isaiah Simmons to force the punt. Unfortunately, you know, the offense craps the bed on the intentional grounding play, puts themselves on their own 2, and then you get the holding. That's not on the defense there, and Isaiah Simmons, you know, kind of willed them in a position to take the lead for the first time all game, and the offense blew that opportunity. But you're absolutely right, and it's kind of scary to think about, you know, and what a time it could potentially come where the Arizona Cardinals defense needs somebody to emerge as they've kind of had a couple tough weeks. I mean, they've get up, you know, anywhere between 27 and 30-plus points the last 4 to 5 weeks. So they need somebody to really kind of boost them and rally them through these next 9 games. And if it's your 8th overall pick, finding his stride, I mean, it seems like a perfect storm as far as that goes.
For sure. I mean, that would kind of be the greatest and worst possible scenario that you'd have to rely on a, you know, 22-year-old to anchor your defense for the last several games. But also it would be, you know, kind of a glimpse into the future, what could be with him and Buda Baker. I don't know what to make of this game. Like, yes, they played poorly and they are undisciplined still. But there were some really bright spots. And I don't know if this isn't, you know, I'm not a homer. We pride ourselves on appreciating the Cardinals for what they are and being very surprised and happy that they've moved as quickly as they have. But seeing Isaiah Simmons play at that level, he was the best defensive player on the field tonight, Bo. He couldn't even get on the field 3 weeks ago. Like, that's not just because Chandler Jones and Corey Peters are out. He's starting to get the feel for the NFL game, and that is something that people need to existentially appreciate. Yes, it sucks they lost, but look at what Isaiah Simmons did tonight.
We are going to give our final thoughts, plus your tweets, and yeah, maybe we'll put it into perspective a little bit. This loss, because I think a lot of people, if you told them that the Cardinals were going to split with the Seahawks this season, they would sign absolutely up for that. We're going to wrap things up. It's Locked On Cardinals. It's Bo and it's Alex. So at the end of the game, I told everybody we were going to fire up the mics and do a knee-jerk reaction podcast, and I wanted to know who cost the Cardinals the game. Our guy Jared said the penalties. Andrew says not throwing to Hopkins more, taking shots downfield. Rye guy said, how many games is Cliff going to be saying, this is on me? More penalties. That's from Dylan. Tim saying, play calling, 50 dropbacks and just 13 runs. Andy Isabella, just a track guy, or can he play wide receiver? O-line and penalties, according to Benjamin. Our guy Dutch Bird Watcher, he said he was up at 5:30 in the morning watching this loss. Undisciplined players, too many dumb penalties, mental errors. Aaron says the refs, Drake or Patrick, according to Levi, Cliff, according to Ian. Sean says Carlos Dunlap certainly didn't help the Cardinals' cause. He had a great game for the Seahawks, the guy who came over from the Bengals. Safety and intentional grounding penalties, according to Quailman. Pat says the Cardinals cost themselves the game. J-Rock says the Cardinals beat the Cardinals tonight. K1 the GOAT says refs and his O-line. Just, you know, I mean, there's a theme there. It's the penalties. It's the play calling. It's the O-line. Alex was pointing out there was some silver linings. One is the Cardinals, 6-4. They take on the Patriots in week 12. And they've got opportunities down on their schedule against the Giants and the Eagles and the Niners one more time. So, I mean, they could get to 9, 10, maybe even 11 wins if they show up and they can if they can get those W's. But, you know, I think you sign up. This is their first loss in the division, Alex.
Everything looks, and it's so irrational. We've talked about this, that it's so irrational that now if the Cardinals would have won tonight, all the rest of the games would have looked winnable. And then now that they lost tonight, all of the games are like, oh man, they're question marks. Like, could they finish 8-8? It's just the NFL, it's such a fickle mistress. It's a fickle thing where they go to New England. They, you know, they get some extra time, but Bill Belichick also gets some extra time to watch Kyler Murray and see, oh, well, Seattle stopped him from running the ball, so let me see how I can do that on steroids, because that's what I do, because I'm an evil defensive genius. And the run defense again of the Cardinals isn't fantastic, so I'm just going to run Cam Newton, Rex Burkhead, Dwayne Harris, and whoever, James Jones, and their offense, you know, whatever, into the ground and beat them. Like, it's just a weird time.
I mean, I'll follow you into the Bill Belichick's an evil defensive genius, but I'm not going to fall into that. I'm scared that that Patriots offense can do anything, and, you know, instill the fear that the Seahawks did at all from Thursday Night Football. I mean, they just don't have the weapons. They don't have the ability to do that. But to slow things down, like the Seahawks defense did to the Cardinals offense, yeah, they absolutely have those capabilities. Cardinals go on the road against the Pats, then they host the Rams, in which is going to be a monster game. And hopefully the Cardinals don't get caught looking ahead towards that game, because that's going to be a huge game. And then you've got you go to East Rutherford, take on the Giants, take on the Eagles, you take on the Niners. You could probably get right if things have gone wrong between, you know, now and then. But you're looking at, you know, the last four games have been tight contests, and it's got to be wearing on this team that's bye week, you know, was somewhere in between there. It was after the OT thrilling win over the Seahawks, but, you know, that's 37-31. You got to rally back and win that game. You're playing a tight contest against Miami, and they've got a tough defense, and Buffalo might not be talented on defense, but they've got some tough players. That's a 32-30 game that you had to win in the waning seconds. I mean, this has got to... Whoever plays the Cardinals potentially in the playoffs, this is going to be a team that's going to be already battle-tested because of this stretch.
I go back to this, and you made fun of me initially for this metaphor. The Cardinals are an elephant on a sheet of ice, and we don't know how thick the ice is.
I didn't make fun of you for that.
Oh, you laughed at me, and rightfully so. It didn't make any sense at the time. But the fact that, like, we don't know, they're in the middle of a lake in... Nova Scotia.
Where's an elephant even on a sheet of ice?
Why would a tuna be on land? Tuna versus lion, okay? But you are an elephant on a sheet of ice somewhere where an elephant would be on a sheet of ice, and you don't know if you walk across the lake. Like, legitimately, we have no idea how fragile or strong this team is, because we see so much of each every game. Like, permeated through, like it's a checkers board. We have no idea what this team is. And the fact that they won at home against Seattle, if that Hail Mary didn't ring true, they'd be 5-5 right now. And they'd be borderline 7 seed looking at Minnesota and Kirky, you raise me up, Cousins right behind them.
Come on, that's Josh Groban.
Oh,
it's not even cream.
Can you be higher, Kirk Cousins? Sorry. They're so lucky to be where they are right now.
They're
right?
Lucky, but you see they're a talented team.
Yeah, and they're probably a year ahead of their time. Like when I tweeted out, and I truly believe this is not backtracking. If the Cardinals won tonight, I thought they would win the NFC West. That was 3 hours ago, and I still stand behind what I said at that time, because it would have separated things divisionally with the tiebreaker. Now they're 2-1. If they split with the Rams, they're right in the middle of the pack. So they could, in essence, be the 2 seed, or they could be the 7 seed. We don't know. Or they can miss the playoffs. But there's still so many question marks.
There's a lot of schedule left. You're absolutely right about that. No doubt about it. Even though your references are way off. And, you know, you're right. I mean, the woolly mammoth is extinct. Elephants on ice doesn't work, my friend. It just doesn't work. So hopefully we can find a better analogy that doesn't have the Arizona Cardinals going extinct. by the end of the 2020 season. But we appreciate everybody's tweets at Locked On AZ Cards, at Clancy's Corner, and at Bob Rack. It was it was an entertaining game. The last 4 weeks have been nothing short of it on the entertainment part of things. Obviously, the Cardinals, you would have liked them to come out on top a couple more times than they did. We will start to preview week 12 against the New England Patriots. Real knee-jerk reaction. Alex, does this game scare you?
The best part about doing this podcast is we're doing it right after. So obviously this scares me now more than it probably will tomorrow. But to answer your question right now, yeah, absolutely.
The New England Patriots 4-5 on the season. That's the Cardinals' next contest. And one little quick note about Thursday night's losses. I thought that the Seahawks defensively had one of their better games of the season. And that's not saying a whole lot, but it is kind of concerning when, you know, obviously they play within the same division. The good thing is you don't have to see him anymore after this. But as far as them taking care of that business of that cupcake schedule, you know, with the addition of Sax Harrison and Carlos Dunlap and Jamal Adams getting back into it a little bit, it doesn't bode well for the rest of the NFC West. And they also got back kind of their offensive ways of 2019, and that was a team that won 11 games. So it was more run-pass balance, and it wasn't all reliant on Russell Wilson. And I don't know. That was one of my other takeaways is, you know, Seattle's kind of scary again after thinking that they were down and out.
Well, Bo, what they did, what no other team has done, is at least in the last 5 weeks, they stopped Kyler Murray from running the ball. So if teams can stop Kyler Murray from running the ball and he can't throw the ball, he and Lamar Jackson are in the same camp. Like, this is on Cliff to figure out a way to build a scheme around throwing the football. And if running the football comes into play, cool. But what we saw on short yardage tonight was Kyler Murray losing yardage a couple times. They need him to be a quarterback who happens to run the ball and not vice versa. So we'll see if he can make the necessary adjustments before they go to Foxborough next week.
We'll start talking about what those adjustments should look like come Monday. Thanks for tuning in to this Friday edition of the Locked On Cardinals podcast. For Alex, follow him on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. For me, Bo Brock, follow me at Bob Rack. Have a great rest of your Friday. At least try to enjoy the games this weekend. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.